All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're going way back, like to 1983.
Oh, wow, back in time.
Yeah, we're going back in time to this case, Florida Board of Bar Examiners reapplicant. And you know, at first glance, it may seem kind of like a dusty old case, you know, who cares? But the questions that it raised about privacy during the bar application process, those are definitely not ancient history.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, think about it. You're a law student, you're working so hard to become a lawyer, but then the bar examiners want to dig into your personal life, your mental health history. I mean, where do they get off, right? And that's the big issue this case brought up, your right to privacy versus the state's responsibility to make sure only qualified people get to practice law. It's a tough one, and that's why this thing went all the way up to the Florida Supreme Court.
So let's dive right in. What did this applicant do that got the bar examiners all riled up?
Well, there was this one question on the application, question 28B, and it asked about any like regular treatment for mental disorders. Now, that's pretty personal stuff. And this applicant wasn't too keen on sharing. Plus, they also messed with the medical records authorization form.
They didn't just leave it blank, right?
No. Instead of giving the bar examiners like full access to everything, they tried to limit what records they could see. Kind of like, hey, you can look, but only over there, not over here.
I bet the board was not happy about that.
Not at all. They basically said, nope, full compliance or no dice. They wouldn't even process the application until the applicant filled out everything exactly as they wanted. And so that's when the applicant decided, okay, let's take this to court.
So it sounds like this applicant wasn't just trying to stir up trouble. They genuinely felt like their rights were being violated. What were their main arguments?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Their big argument was all about privacy. They said the board's requirements violated their constitutional right to privacy, both under the Florida Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. They even brought up due process concerns, claiming the board's demands were unfair and way too broad, like, hey, you're asking too much.
So we have this clash between the applicant wanting to protect their privacy and the board needing to make sure lawyers are, you know, competent and ethical. I kind of remember something from law school about the state needing a really strong reason to, like, restrict someone's privacy.
You're thinking of the compelling state interest test. And that's the legal standard the Florida Supreme Court used to decide this case. Now, privacy rights are really important, but they're not unlimited. Sometimes the state can step in, but only if they have a super good reason.
So basically, the state can't just peek into your personal life for no reason. They need a really good excuse.
Exactly. And the reason has to be something that really affects everyone's well-being, like the safety and security of the entire community. And even then, they can only use the least intrusive methods possible to achieve their goal. Kind of like, okay, we need to get this information, but let's be as careful and respectful as possible.
So what was the Florida Supreme Court's take on all of this? What was the compelling state interest in this case? It must have been something pretty serious to justify asking about someone's mental health, right?
Oh, absolutely. The court was crystal clear on this one. They said protecting the public was the most important thing. Lawyers have a lot of power and responsibility. Think about it. They're dealing with people's lives, their money, their futures. So the court was like, look, if a lawyer isn't mentally and emotionally stable, that could have serious consequences for everyone involved.
I can see that. If you're going through something really tough, it could cloud your judgment.
For sure. And the court really hammered this point home. They literally said mental fitness and emotional stability are essential to the ability to practice law in a manner not injurious to the public. Powerful words.
Powerful words indeed. Okay, so the court basically agreed that the state had a really good reason for asking about mental health, but were these specific questions and, you know, that medical release, were those really the least intrusive ways to figure this stuff out?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. The majority opinion focused on how the mental health question was specifically tailored to find out if someone was fit to be a lawyer. It wasn't like they were trying to dig up every bit of therapy someone ever had. It was more like, have you had regular treatment for mental health issues?
So it wasn't a free-for-all. They were trying to be specific.
Right. They were aiming for relevant information without going overboard. And then there was the medical records authorization.
Yeah, that sounds kind of scary, like giving them permission to see your entire medical history.
I know, right? But the court addressed that directly. They said it wasn't a blanket release to see everything. The authorization was limited to records that were actually relevant to being a good lawyer. They also said the board would keep everything confidential.
So the majority opinion was like, look, we get the privacy concerns, but these measures are limited and they're necessary to protect the public. But wasn't there another side to this story? Didn't someone disagree?
Yeah, there was a dissenting opinion. Justice Adkins wasn't on board with all of this. He thought the board was asking too much. He even called the requirements overbroad.
So what didn't he like specifically?
He was mainly concerned about the mental health question. He pointed out that there was no time limit, so they could ask about treatment you had years ago, even if it was completely irrelevant to your current state of mind. He thought that was going way too far.
That makes sense. Like, just because you had therapy a long time ago doesn't mean you're not fit to be a lawyer now.
Exactly. And Justice Adkins had a similar problem with the medical records authorization. He thought it was way too broad and gave the board access to a ton of private information that wasn't really their business. He was basically saying, hey, this is a huge invasion of privacy.
So we have the majority saying we need this information and we're being careful, and the dissent saying, hold on, this is going too far.
Yeah, it's a tough balance. This case really shows how tricky it can be to protect both individual rights and the public good. And you know what? Justice Adkins' concerns are actually even more relevant today.
How so?
Well, we talk much more openly about mental health now than we did back in the 80s.
Mm.
There's a real fear that if the bar digs too deep, it might discourage law students and lawyers from seeking help when they need it.
Yeah, like I'm struggling, but I can't get help because it might hurt my career. That's a big problem.
Huge problem. And
Yeah.
this case really brings that to light. So, for all you aspiring lawyers out there, what can you learn from all of this?
Well, I think the takeaway is that being a lawyer means you're going to be under a lot of scrutiny. The bar has a duty to make sure you're fit to practice, and that includes your character and mental well-being. And while you absolutely have privacy rights, the state also has an interest in protecting the public. So this case basically says, yeah, the bar can ask about your mental health and they can look at some of your medical records. They have to do it carefully and fairly.
Exactly. It's a reminder that some things, like mental health, are considered relevant to your ability to practice law.
It's a lot to think about. So to sum it all up, we dug deep into this case where an applicant fought back against having to disclose their mental health history and provide access to their medical records. The Florida Supreme Court sided with the bar examiners, but Justice Adkins' dissenting opinion brought up some serious concerns about privacy and overreach.
Yeah, and it's a reminder that even though the court made a decision, this issue is far from settled. The debate about privacy and professional licensing is ongoing, and it's something all future lawyers need to be aware of.
So here's a final thought for everyone. How do you think these ideas of compelling state interest and least intrusive means apply to other parts of the bar application process, or even to the legal profession as a whole? When you become a lawyer, you're stepping into a role that demands a lot of public trust. So where do you draw the line between personal privacy and the need to maintain that trust? It's a question worth pondering as you embark on your legal careers. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.